when I was about 5 or 6, we moved to Porterville. And my dad really did amazing work in the community and with the people. And now, years later, still people are coming back and amazing testimonies of the things that he has done in that community. That was in Porterville. But he felt then that 90% of his time he spent in ministry, admin kind of things, and very little time with ministry. And he felt that the Lord was calling them to start a, the English words are difficult, but like a toevluchtsoord for missionaries to care for them and so forth. And it was quite a big ask. My dad left his security, his job. He lost his pension. He lost quite a lot of security, lots of things, and he used the saving money to put a deposit down for a farm that we bought in the Cederberg, and things just worked out so that we lost everything. Long story short. And there was my dad and my mom sitting in Glen William with 7 kids and no income. And what followed was quite an amazing story. I don't know the exact years, but about 14 years that my dad and my mom brought us up without any solid income. My dad he continued with his ministry work, but he wasn't paid for it. Now and then, when he preached at certain places, they gave him something. And he did artworks, truck driving, lots of other things. But my parents were always very faithful. And although we, in worldly terms, you could say we grew up quite poorly, we never felt it. I never felt poor. And I think poor is a relative thing. So I don't think we were naturally that poor, and I won't say that, but the way my parents cared for us was that we always had enough. And God was so faithful. And we almost all those songs that we sang tonight was about God's faithfulness. And as I stand here tonight, I cannot say how we survived it, but God was so faithful that there was not one single day that we didn't have food or clothes or anything. All our necessarily things were met. And there was story after story where my parents called us as a family together and said that we should pray if there's nothing left. And then God provided. And time after time, in different ways, if someone was sick, then they called us together and we prayed. And we really grew up seeing what God did in our family and in our community. And God was really, really very, very real for us. So then when my brother, I've got a twin brother, when we finished matric, now we need to go to university. It was about 100,000 rand, something like that, a year. And my dad couldn't, my parents couldn't afford anything, but again, the Lord provided, and we made it through our first year. And I'm going to tell you about the rest of my family now, but I then finished my medical career, and God provided in all of that. And I did my community service here in Mpumalanga, and I really knew that I wanted to do pediatrics. And everybody told me you won't walk as a Cosmo walk into a medical officer post at Tigerberg Hospital, but I did a telephonic interview and I got a post. So it was already the Lord already provided in that as well. So in 2011 at the Shofar conference, the Lord, so I worked there 2 years as a medical officer, and then I got the register post to study in pediatrics. That's a four-year course. I had about a year and a half left when in 2011 when in the Shofar conference the Lord told me you must go to Paul. that's where I want you. And okay, I said yes, that I like Paul. It's good. It's a good place to go. But you know, again, I was still studying, and you don't just walk into a specialist post after university. And then a post opened the next year, and there was interviews in April or May 2012. Now my time as a registrar only finished in 2013, that January, 31st of January. So I'd almost, when I heard about the interviews, I almost had a year left of studies. So we prayed about it, and I really felt that God, Lord said I should apply for this post, although it made no sense. And I did, and I went to spoke with the interview for some of the people and asked if they could at least extend the interview to after my exams, because I couldn't go for the interview if I didn't pass my exams, and my exams was in that April. And surprised I was that they said it's fine. They'll work without someone. And I was still a student, there was lots of applicants, and until today, I don't know why they did it, but they moved the interviews to after my exam. So then I went for the interview, and it went very well. You know, my mind was clear. It really went well. But on paper, it was still very unlikely that I would get the post. I knew some of the other applicants, and it was basically impossible. And my time was only finishing the next year. So then someone came up with the idea: why don't you ask the HBCSA, the registering body, to allocate 6 months of your medical officer time that you worked in that department, and credited that as time for your as part of your 4 years. And it's never been done it was never done in pediatrics before. So I had to go to our prof, which is a very difficult person, but she's you know, I explained the situation. I said, you know, I had this interview in Paul, I really want this job, but I need at least 6 months off. And she approved it, and then I went to the HBCSA, and they had a meeting. HBCSA had a meeting, and I had to defend my case in Pretoria. And as it worked out, that June, we were going to the Kruger National Park, and on the day that they met, we drove through Pretoria by chance, and we literally stopped with our camping trailer. I climbed out. I presented my case. I climbed in, and we drove off to the Kruger National Park. And you know, it was within days that I first heard that I got the job, and I told no one that I only finished my time at the 31st of January. And then a few days later, I got the call from the HBCSA that they credited the 6 months, and I will finish the 31st of July. So they worked in Paul, they worked a couple of months without anyone to wait for me to finish my time, and that's how I was started in Paul. And if you know how these things work, this is not how it happens. So you know, the small detail is why didn't he just give me a post? Why didn't he just give me a registrar post, you know, 4 years ago, and then my time was finished? But, you know, my eldest son, Daniel, was born in August 2008. And now, if you ask me when did my registrar time start, it actually started in 1st of January. But because I got the 1st of February, but because I got the 6 months, my registrar time now start at 1st of August, the month my son was born. So that means I was working as a medical officer, which is much less stressful, much less stress in your family, for the first 6 months while my son was 6 months. Then I started my registrar time, and then the Lord gave me that time as registrar time afterwards. So, you know, so it's just the way the Lord works. And And I worked there for 6 or 7 years, and then last year the head of department retired, and the Lord gave me a lot of favor. And again, you know, went through all the interview process, and I became the head of pediatrics and Paul. And again, it's I knew some of the candidates that was on the, that what was there, and without going into too much detail, it is a miracle that I became the head of pediatrics at Paul. And you know, that's just my story. But now if you go to my family and you start with my brother, he's sitting there, my one twin brother, he's an anaesthetist in Stellenbosch. And they've got a miracle, they've got amazing stories themselves. Henri is pregnant with a miracle baby, their third one. And they've got an amazing story. Is that public? That's, of course. She had a baby shower yesterday, so it's public. Anyway, of course, the baby's always coming. Anyway, I always put my foot in things like that, so I'm careful. Anyway, so, you know, then you go to Peter, my next brother. His wife had a miscarriage. They did a extraction, you know, some of the leftover parts. And then she stayed pregnant. And the baby was born. It's a miracle. I've never heard about anything like that in medicine. So although they removed everything, you know, there was just a surprise as everyone when she was still pregnant. So somehow the Lord protected the baby inside the womb. Then Stefani, my sister, she started as a dietitian. She's doing amazing work with her husband, and they took a lot of kids. They were a house of safety for many years. They took in a lot of children. Marina, my other sister, she's an occupational therapist. She worked a lot with MESS and with the Urban Church. And they just came back from India. They did mission work now there for a month. And then my two youngest brothers, both engineers, and they've got amazing stories. My youngest brother yesterday ran the ultra 60K Table Mountain thing. And it's, you know, that's just the blessing on our family. And it's, I told Willem before, and it's so difficult to give a testimony like this, because you don't want to sound like anyone did something good. But if you talk to my dad, this is always here tonight, my mom and dad, and they said I mustn't mention them, and it's by chance that they're here, but if you ask them about our family, they would say, you know, they did a lot of mistakes. They made a lot of mistakes. They made a lot of wrong choices in their lives, and they weren't perfect, although, you know, they did a lot of things right. But it is only by the grace of God. And if you talk to my dad, you won't take any credit for anything. It was only by the grace of God. And, you know, our family, I think the university years that in our family is something like 46 years. Sure. If you count it all together. And I don't know what it is now for a year of study, but you can do the sums. And that's someone that earn 300 rand for a Sunday's preaching, or 600 years for something there. And the Lord just did amazing things. My younger sister, and I'm going to end with that. My younger sister, if you ask her about by the way we grew up and all of that, she will say, you know, people can come to me with lots of arguments. They can tell you evidence shows the world is 10 billion years old and there was a big bang, and they can come with lots of facts and things. But one thing that she will know forever is that God is real and that God exists. And nothing you say, no argument that you can bring to her will convince her otherwise, because she experienced God her whole life. And that's what that's the three things that I want to summarize that I just thought about. It's the one thing that God exists. God is completely in control. It's the second thing. Nobody knew where we would end up or what we will do. But if you look back, God was always there before we got there. And God prepared the way every time. He's in complete control, even in the smallest details. And then the third thing is that he loves us dearly, and that he knows our fears, he knows our thoughts, our doubt. He knows our pain, he knows what we're going through, he knows what you are going through, and he still loves you, and he's preparing the way for you, and he's got a plan for your life. And that's my testimony.